Now, Susan Baldacci shortly on the panel today. Mark Ingalls, good afternoon, Mark.
Hi, Jim. Beautiful day down here.
Very pleased to hear it. Not so good in some of the Democratic heartland of America, but it hasn't stopped people turning out to vote. And Steve McCabe, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Jim.
On the panel today, we'll go to America to get the latest poll results. We'll probably find out a reasonable amount more between now and 5 o'clock. And we'll also have chats, if we have time, about whether it's better to rent or buy on the panel. How on earth Wellington's landlords of commercial buildings are going to be able to earthquake strengthen them. Susan Baldacci, talking about what the world is talking about. And, of course, there's only one thing that the world really is discussing today.
Yeah, I think so. But, you know, that's just me. It's certainly something I'm talking about, and that is the U.S. election. And Pennsylvania has just been projected as a winner for Obama. That was important. That was a swing state. Michigan also been projected to go for Obama. And this is what it all comes down to, is those marginal states, those states that could go either way. Still too close to call in Florida. Just unbelievable in Florida. Right
50-50,
now, 50-49, Obama's 50-49. Ahead. But the thing is, Obama's ahead, but the counties that haven't been counted yet are way up in the panhandle, what's called the panhandle of Florida, in the sort of rural area,
which
tend to go Romney. And then there are still lots of votes that need to be counted. Dade County down towards Miami, heavy population, so bigger numbers, which do tend to go Democratic. So it all depends on where the votes are coming in. So, I mean, it just really is too close to call. It's like it's a nail biter for sure.
You would think Obama was a shoo-in from everything we heard about Ohio beforehand, because he's handily, at least, although it's closing up, winning Ohio. But Romney well ahead in Virginia. Pennsylvania had lots of independent voters,
yeah,
didn't it?
Yeah.
That's an important one.
That is an important one. And Romney made a late push in Pennsylvania, which apparently didn't work, which would not make the Romney campaign very happy. But it really, unfortunately, I hate to say this, I hate to think this, but I think it is going to come down to Florida. It looks like, okay, Virginia's going to go to Romney. Ohio's going to go to Obama. So whoever wins Florida, you know, winner takes all kind of thing. Right now in Colorado, with 49% of the vote, Obama's ahead 51% to 47% of Romney, but that's 49% of the vote. That's 9 electoral votes. So it could, it's not going to make or break necessarily, but it is certainly important because it is a swing state.
But in perspective, yeah, that's 9 out of 538.
Well, so it takes 270. 270 is the magic number. It takes 270 electoral college votes to win. So
it's going to be the proverbial long night in America.
Oh, it is.
Isn't it?
Which is so different from 4 years ago. I remember 4 years ago, I sat on the couch with my kids. I had worked the election because the Democratic National Convention had been in Colorado and things like that. But I didn't have to work the night of the election. And I really wanted my kids to watch it because it was history in the making. And it was the closest we've come in a long, long time to being united, because it was such a landslide for Obama. So it was a fantastic thing to watch. And this just shows once again how divided America is. The fact that it is so darn close.
Well,
so different from 4 years ago.
We heard that from that woman that you discovered for us, Wendy Kinsella, in Denver earlier in the afternoon, who just didn't know who she was going to vote for until she got in the polling booth, and then afterwards she wasn't sure if she'd made the right choice.
Yeah, yeah.
Fascinating night.
Yeah, it is. It's going to be. And I know you'll continue to talk about that, and
yep,
I'll continue to feed those numbers.
Fantastic.
We'll see what happens.
Okay, what else? What else?
Now, this is an interesting story. Prince Charles is an heir to Dracula's bloodline.
Pardon?
Did you know that?
Right.
Yeah.
Sounds like a new movie coming up.
Yep, yeah, there we go. Links between the royal family and Vlad the Impaler, the 15th century nobleman whose deeds in the vampire legend are, you know, something that has been written about for centuries.
This presumably on Prince Philip's side of the family, right?
Probably. Well,
it's pretty hard to actually describe yourself as a nobleman when your name's Vlad the Impaler.
I don't think he bestowed it upon himself.
To be fair, I think when your name's Vlad the Impaler, you can describe yourself as anything you want. No one's going to argue.
Well, the prince is actually very kindly appearing in a video which is being used to promote tourism in the area. And he jokes, which is kind of hard to, you know, see Prince Charles with a sense of humor, but he does, "Transylvania is in my blood."
Is in my blood.
The genealogy shows I'm a descendant from Vlad the Impaler, so I do have a bit of a stake in the country. Bada boom, bada bing.
He's a card, isn't he?
So I'm sure the Romanian National Tourist Office is very grateful.
Thank you.
So he's going to be doing that for them. Okay. Now, one thing that you won't be seeing, tourists won't be seeing more of, apparently, in some communities, like I'm thinking Roswell, New Mexico, their entire tourism industry is based on an alleged alien landing that occurred there a long time ago.
Alleged?
But,
alleged, Susan.
But Britain's UFO watchers have come to the conclusion that the truth may not be out there after all. That UFOs, UFOlogy may be sort of a dying science. Apparently what's happened is that, reports of UFO cases have dropped 96% since 1988. So people who are involved in the research of UFOs now say that basically there's about 30 a year now of alleged UFO sightings, whereas there used to be at least 100.
So we've moved on, and you would think that with all the cell phones we've got, and the handy cams, we'd be getting far more pictures of UFOs now, wouldn't
we? Yeah. I think it'd be really interesting to see whether it relates to the use of LSD.
Oh, from the old days?
Exactly.
They began before
that,
that's
dropped away. Yeah.
Oh, that's an interesting theory. You know, you live in Hammer Springs, one of the most beautiful parts of New Zealand, with the fantastic night sky.
Absolutely. We see a fantastic night sky.
You'd think that, you know, without the city clutter of the night, you know, the clouded city night sky, you'd be seeing the odd UFO yourself, but you've never seen
many
one?
A strange thing in the sky, Jim, but none of them have come down and spoken to me yet.
Okay. Alternatively, it just means that all these reports are being covered up so much better. They don't want you to believe.
Yeah, that's a possibility.
I think cover-ups are so much harder to do, but, you know, that's the big controversy in 1947 when that Roswell, allegedly this alien spaceship, is said to have crashed in New Mexico. Yes, with all the cell phones and everything else, it'd be really, really hard to do without somebody getting proof of it. Mm. And maybe we're also a lot better at looking at those photos and saying, yep,
Photoshop.
That's Photoshop. That's right.
Someone says regarding Prince Charles, Susan, thank you very much.
Oh. Almost as good as the Romanian Tourist Bureau. Here's an interesting story. Lady Gaga is very upset about all the tabloid talk of her weight gain. She's gained 30 pounds, and she's not ashamed of it. But what she's peeved about is that Adele has gained some weight, and nobody says anything about her. So she's embracing her fuller figure. She thinks it's healthy for her to sort of say, okay, so what, I gained weight, get over it. And she thinks it's not very nice that the media is picking on her without... You know,
me thinks she does protest too much. I mean, the difference with her and Adele was that Adele was always that size, wasn't she? Mm. She always had, you know, a fuller figure, whereas Lady Gaga's, for some reason, piled on the pounds. That'd be the difference in the media.
Well, I think 29 of those 30 pounds are ego, really, aren't they?
Oh, come on, that's unkind. Do you know the woman?
Not personally, no. She never writes. She never calls.
Mm. Okay.
Well, it is almost like she's doing it on purpose. It does sort of feel that way. She's got a website. She's starting what she calls a body revolution movement and that kind of thing. But, okay. You know, maybe I'm just being cynical.
Oh, no. Well, Oprah got a lot of mileage out of
cynicism's good.
Piling on pounds and then taking them off again, didn't she?
Yeah, well, that's it. Yep.
And she can't really claim she was born that way.
Uh-huh.
Thank you very much.
They are they're coming thick and fast
today,
aren't they?
Just blame Prince Charles.
They really are. Now, here's something that also, when it comes to appearance, that is really quite concerning, and this is some research more of a survey out of the UK that suggests that lots of women in their 20s are getting hooked on Botox.
Why?
Already.
Hooked.
They're sort of wanting to get in before it's too late. So the sort of youth-obsessed 20-somethings are flocking to get Botox. This was a survey. Women become concerned about the effects of aging at just 29.
That's sad.
And there is a 56% year-on-year increase in inquiries for wrinkle-smoothing creams and other things like that among the 18 to 25-year-old set, which is really
sad.
Can't
it have deleterious effects if you take Botox too soon? Can it sit?
I would think so. I would think because it's really, it's like it's that's muscle relaxer, isn't it? It seems to me you'd really need to have a wrinkle for it to cure a wrinkle. But if they think they have problems in their 20s, just wait. You know, if you're concerned about that little wrinkle, I wonder how you're going to handle it 20 years from now.
Susan Baldacci, 2 minutes to 4.
Now, you know, there's something that you hear, you know, there's like the scent of fear, the smell of fear. And that's something you hear about in some of these horror movies and things like that. Well, a study that's in the Journal of Psychological Science suggests that actually there is a smell of fear, that emotions are contagious. And one of the reasons for that is sweat. When you are afraid, the smell of your sweat is slightly different than sweat. That you if you're just working hard or know working out or something like this.
So there's an actual smell.
Yeah, so what they did is I wouldn't have wanted to participate in this study. This was the university in Netherlands. They collected sweat samples from the armpits of 10 men who were watching scenes from The Shining. And they had 36 women basically smell the sweat and sort of identify the sweat from these 10 men who were scared and other sweat. And they could tell a difference between the men who sweated for fear and the ones who were sweating for other reasons.
Is it contagious?
And, yeah, apparently the men who were all watching this movie together, that it all,
Mark Ingalls, you've been in situations which are pretty tricky with bunches of blokes, and I suppose you wouldn't sweat much on Everest, actually.
Where are you going here, Jim? Where are you going?
No, I was going to say in a delicate manner that you'd probably have an instinct for this. Would you say that fear is, contagious? You can smell it and then it affects you? I wonder.
No, not in the mountains.
I don't suppose you sweat much up there.
Exactly. Yeah. Well, actually, you can. And fear is. I can honestly believe that research. You know, that's something that I would take on, because you can really see it when people get really scared. They do that sweat. They the nervousness and everything. As they've always said. Animals can tell when you're scared.
Yes, they do. Don't they?
Can smell fear.
Well.
So can woman, obviously.
There you go.
Susan Baldacci, she'll stay with us between 4 and 5 and update us on the American presidential race. Neither candidate can smell victory.
No, very good. That is so true.
But they can smell fear, though.
They'll both be afraid at the stage, I think. Neck and neck in America. And more discussion coming up on the panel with Mark Ingalls today, Steve McCabe shortly.